Hello, I'm Dimitri's grandma.
These are some of my jokes.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is I Don't Get It with Gabby and Chloe. I'm Gabby.
I'm in distress.
That's Chloe. I can show you how to put it on. Mine fell off.
We're talking about condoms. No, just kidding, guys. Okay. It's me,
remember,
Chloe.
Remember, I came in here last time and the thing was off and I put it back on. It's fine. We are currently, these mics are like not...
They're weird and they're wrapped in Christmas
ribbon. So I'm currently holding
my mic to my
mouth. So like, if I let go,
yeah, I bet you are.
It pops above my face, so you probably can't hear me. I'm trying my hardest.
Innuendo.
Oh, wait! Oh my god, I figured it out.
Okay, cool.
Okay, now it's actually hanging from my mouth.
Guys, you just heard... You wanna? Just heard The Start by Dimitri Martin, awesome comedian I'm sure you've all heard of.
Yeah, old classic. Dimitri Martin's These Are Jokes from December 26, 2006 on Comedy Central Records.
Yes, and his latest album released in September called Stand Up Comedian. It's available on iTunes and everything, and we totally recommend you get it. We are just running low on budget, so we decided to play an oldie but a goodie, and hopefully you guys will support him and buy his new album.
Totally.
Which I watched some clips of on YouTube.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it the other day, and it was really fun.
What I noticed about it is that it's called Stand Up Comedian, and the jokes on it are, like, way more... like, typical stand-up comedy jokes, which I kind of like to see him go
in
that direction.
Yeah.
Like, they were less, like, subtle. Like, not that they weren't subtle, like, that's still his game, but they were less about, like, I feel like his album Stand-Up Comedian is something you could listen to in audio and, like, understand it a little bit more than, like, These Are Jokes or, like,
Yeah.
Person, was that the other one with the art board?
But that was only visual.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was not, yeah.
Like, a lot of his stuff is visual, but I was watching the stuff for Stand Up Comedian, and I was like, oh, I could listen to this in audio form.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he still did a lot of
I've never seen Stand Up Comedian. I've only listened
did
to it
you
on
watch,
Spotify.
I watched the clip about, he does a bit about if cigarettes looked more like phalluses and,
yeah,
like, people wouldn't smoke them. That's a visual bit, but he describes it so,
exactly,
like, anyone can see it because he doesn't have any visual aids with him. So, definitely recommend buying that.
It's very, or listening to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
You don't have the money.
Is it just free?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the internet, ladies and gentlemen.
The internet.
Don't have to pay for anything.
Ever heard of it? So, he also released a book last year, which was a New York Times bestseller. It was called This Is a Book.
Did you read it? Because I didn't.
I did not read it.
I would like to. Maybe I'll ask for that for Christmas.
Yeah, a good idea.
I like
also,
to
Jim Gaffigan came out with a new book. I texted you about it earlier.
Yeah.
But
is that... I'm sure it's just a bunch of anecdotes, though, right?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's, like, a Lollipops and... I mean, a Zombie Spaceship Wasteland style, like...
You mean, like, personal essay,
yeah,
type stuff rather
essay
than, like, a whole narrative?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's called Dad is Fat, which is so funny. And it's... I don't know if you saw the cover, but it's, like... In a child's handwriting, it says, Dad is fat.
Oh,
over, like, a black and white picture of Jim Gaffigan. It's very funny.
That's funny.
Anyway, back to Dimitri Martin.
So, yeah, Person was his Comedy Central special in
2007. I saw that, for sure.
I saw that, too.
I don't remember a lot of it, because that was...
I saw it when it was on.
A long
time
ago.
That show, what was unique about that is it was divided up... I'm pretty sure I have this right. It was divided up into three sections. The first one was more like traditional stand-up joke-telling style. The second section was with the easel. Like, it was thirds, and then the last third was the musical, like, guitar and harmonica thing where he had comedic actors in the background performing.
Yeah, he has that in here, too. The guitar...
Yeah, that's another thing about him. He's so, like, smart and creative, and, like, everything has some sort of visual or, like, musical component to it. And... sometimes to me, I'm like, oh, that's annoying. Like, just get on with the actual jokes. Like, this feels like filler. But everything he does is so, like, well thought out. And, you know, like, we're going to talk about after we play the next track. You know, he's a really smart guy. Went to Yale, you know, dropped out to be, like, of law school to do stand-up comedy.
But he also went to NYU, said Wikipedia. So I don't know which one happened first.
I think he went to NYU for college and then
Yale,
like,
for grad
law.
School.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, and... then Important Things on Comedy Central. We're going to talk about that later. And, of course, his foray into film with Taking Woodstock.
Yeah,
but,
I think
we're going to launch into the next track, Some Jokes by Dimitri Martin.
Here we go.
I like digital cameras because they enable you to reminisce immediately.
Okay. And we're back.
Hey, guys.
So that was...
Some jokes.
Some jokes.
It's hard to remember. What's interesting about his stuff is that it's never really, like, the titles aren't, like, thematic. It's just, like, here are some jokes.
Yeah. I mean, some of them...
Like, all those are all
over
the place.
All of them are pretty, like, you don't know what to expect. Like, they're pretty...
It's like Anthony Jeselnik does that, too, when he titles his tracks. It's very much, like... mean stuff or something like it's really vague,
but yeah.
I like that it means the humor is really joke based instead of like here's a really long narrative with some stuff sprinkled in every 5 minutes.
He has almost no narratives, and it's
I like that though.
Me too.
Yeah,
I mean, I like both styles, but I like that he does like a lot of like really like quick fire
to me,
joke.
To me, like this is way harder to write than
I think so
narrative
too.
Stuff. I appreciate it more because like even when like anyone is telling a story to their friend, it's like there are highs and lows and funny parts. But to get such a rise out of someone in like one sentence, I think these jokes are very Twittery.
Oh yeah, totally. It's like.
It's
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Much
and
like,
also you kind
how
of
much can I make someone laugh in 2 sentences?
Yeah. And it's, you, I think part of what's hard about it is you really have to trust your audience. You have to trust that they'll understand the wordplay. And, like, if they don't laugh the second after you finish your joke, or they don't laugh while you're doing your setup, which some comedians are able to do, or...
With a certain pause here
and there. Exactly. But he has to wait until the end. Usually it's the very end of the joke... then there's, like, an actual punchline rather than the story itself being funny or the, like, setup. So a lot of the time, like, finish a joke and it'll take the audience a second to understand
the
wordplay or
and
the,
then I'll laugh.
So he really has to trust that his audience is going to understand what he's saying, like, because he's so smart.
I think what makes him, because, like, him and Jeselnik are similar in that way, but I think what makes Dimitri Martin different in his joke setup is that, like, like, you probably notice it, too. Like, he'll do a setup, like, that sweater vest bit. Like, he'll be like, oh, sweater vest. And then he'll do 6 punchlines about sweater vests.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Jeselnik is more like long, long, long setup, 1 punchline.
Yeah.
And then Dimitri Martin is like short setup, punchline, which is really great. I mean, power to him if he can pack in that many punchlines into 1 really simple setup.
Yeah.
I think that takes a lot of talent.
And it's kind of like, I feel like after he... creates one premise, like one thing about sweater vests, he can never talk about sweater vests again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's fine by me. And
yeah,
like,
I agree.
I think someone like, I don't want to like crap on Jim Gaffigan, but he goes back to the same topics a lot of the time, and like he mines a lot of funny stuff in them, and it's good. But there's something really fresh about how Dimitri Martin will just jump from premise to premise.
Yeah.
With no relation at all.
There's no segue in any. Like, he's just like, and that joke's over, and now this
and
joke.
And that element of catching the audience by surprise and, like, ensuring that they can't predict the next joke.
Exactly.
It gets such
more of a... It's an art form.
It gets way more of a rise of laughter than... Because, like, sometimes when a comic is either telling a narrative or doing a bunch of jokes on... a similar thread of thought, you can kind of guess where they're going next. But Dimitri Martin is like, surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah. He's really talented.
I think
in
some
way.
Comedians, like, if you were to draw the graph of laughter for some comedians,
like
it would
arc.
Be like, the arc, exactly. The denouement.
denouement of the joke.
It would, like, for comedians like Jim Gaffigan and Pete Holmes, it would be like, the audience starts at the bottom and then shoots up at the very beginning and then stays at a plateau of thinking it's funny. Like, occasionally goes down. Mm-hmm. But then with Dimitri Martin, it's like, and Anthony Jeselnik, it's like they go up at the very end of a punchline and then they're back at the bottom as soon as that joke's
over. It's like
over.
A roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a roller coaster of laughter and fun.
God, I love this show. if like literally, if we had this conversation, anyone else would be like, "Okay,
like, cool, let's go to the mall."
Please be quiet.
You get out of my car.
Who are you? Do you need directions?
I'm just waiting for the bus.
So that was fun. But yeah, Dimitri Martin, good guy. Wanna talk about some stuff that he did in his career?
I just saw that our I was looking at what our next segment is, and I started to laugh because I'm pretty sure mine is weird because we just had Thanksgiving break.
Oh no, we glossed over the stuff he did though.
Oh yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant you. Never mind, doesn't matter.
I just was reading her chart.
I don't even know what mine's gonna be. It's gonna be weird. We're talking about our segment this week in search history.
I also learned how to look at search history on my iPad.
Uh oh, so double the embarrassing searches.
Oh, exactly. So he wrote for Conan. We're back to Demetri Martin. He wrote for Conan from 2003 to 2004.
Comedy Central
and then
Presents.
You got his Comedy Central Presents, which is a half hour?
I think
that's a half hour.
I'm pretty
sure. So I remember
sure.
looking on the DVR, or looking on the, like, guide on the TV, and it would go Comedy Central Presents, Comedy Central Presents, and
I
it would
think,
be one
like,
long bar
the premium blends are a half hour.
I think Comedy Central Presents is a half an hour. Brandon.
So then what's the... Yeah, he'll tell us.
Calling
what's,
Brandon.
What's the... fact checker, Brandon. But what's the hour? I know there's a difference.
There's just an hour special.
Because, like, but
people do
there's
their half
hours, though.
Yeah, there is, but I think that's
what
Comedy
that
Central
called?
Presents. Comedy Central Presents.
Oh, I thought you just said Presents was an hour.
No, I
oh,
think
I, got confused
I think Presents is
said.
A half an hour, and then you have, like, your hour, which
yeah,
has a title.
It has your own title. Yeah, you're right, you're right. So we got a half hour in 2004.
I remember watching, like, Comedy Central Presents, Jim Gaffigan, and Comedy Central
oh
Presents.
Oh my god, how
isn't
weird
that so
that?
Weird?
Yeah. And he was just doing bits about Indiana. He wasn't even fat yet.
Jim Gaffigan had two Comedy Central Presents. Because I remember the different backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah. One of them
was like
a farm.
A wheat field, and he had glasses,
yeah,
and was,
oh my God.
Was like thinner. And
he
then
was so cute. And he kept doing this voice.
And I was like, I love him.
Yeah, me too. So, back to Demetri Martin. We like to talk about a bunch of different comedians on this show. But
particularly, I think we're talking about Jim Gaffigan because I discovered them at the same time. Because they had the Comedy Central Presents, I think, in the same year, if not one after the other.
Isn't that so weird?
And that was like... That was like the year where my understanding of comedy began.
I think that's kind of what's happening right now with like John Mulaney's special and like Pete Holmes's special. I think when did Jim Gaffigan and Demetri Martin? It was like 7 or 8 years ago. I think in about 5 years, Mulaney and Holmes are going to be like
and,
the Gaffigan and
Kumail Nanjiani and
I.
Kurt
you know,
Brandler.
I never see. Kumail's stand-up, like,
because he doesn't have
a CD.
Like,
I know, like, he needs to really get on that. But I've really only seen him on Portlandia.
Yeah,
and he's funny on there.
But yeah, so I said Kurt Brunneler, and I meant Matt Bronger.
What's his name? Yeah, I always confuse them
because they both have a one syllable first name and a German last name.
Full Hours don't have a special name. Presents as a half hour. Thanks.
Yeah! Wait, Full Hours don't have a special name.
No. Yeah, he said.
Then what are they called?
I don't know because. I thought the Full Hours would be like Pablo Francisco, not funny.
Exactly.
I mean,
unfunny.
Jeff Dunham, kill yourself. Jeff Dunham,
Dane
colon,
Cook,
kill
not
yourself.
Laughing. Jeff Dunham, no one cares.
Colon,
racism.
Jeff Dunham, colon, for dumb people.
Wait, what is Larry the Cable Guy? I can't even think of a joke for that one. That's
Sleeveless in Seattle.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
He's
Chloe,
gonna use that.
That was the best joke you've ever
really
said in your entire life. You've peaked. That was amazing.
Just now, it's all downhill from. It's
sleeveless.
All downhill from Larry. I said the word sleeveless, and then I was like, "Dagon in Seattle." My brain was like,
"Sleeveless
go, go.
In Seattle."
My brain was like, oh "Don't pause too long."
My dad is gonna listen to this tomorrow and laugh so hard when he hears that.
Brandon goes, "Nice."
You nailed that
and
one.
And then Mary just texts me, "Sleeveless in Seattle." Ha ha. Also, shout out really quick to my friend Lily again, listening all the way from University of Pittsburgh.
Oh,
love
yay.
You, Lily, and thanks for the status. We keep going away.
Do you want to do our first segment?
The elusive Demetri Martin.
Oh.
I'll just run through it really quick. Basically, he started as a Daily Show writer in 2005, and Jon Stewart recognized that he was, like, good on camera and funny, so he gave him a segment as youth correspondent, hosting a segment called Trend Spotting, where he, like, highlighted trends that young people were interested in. And it was funny because it was really, like, detached. Or, like, just obviously, like, not in on it. And, let's see. Topics included wine, Xbox 360, MySpace, life coaching, hookah, and credit cards. and then he was on the finale of Flight of the Conchords, playing a guitar player named Demetri as well. And then his breakthrough, which is what we're playing right now, was Person. Is that what we're playing right now?
No, we're not.
No, we're playing These Are Jokes. Sorry. These are jokes. His breakthrough was Person, because it was in 2006. It was a CD DVD combo.
Yeah,
very
successful. And did that play on Comedy Central?
It must have, because I think that's the one where he's wearing the shirt that says comedian, and I remember seeing that on TV. And also, he, like we said, he went to Yale Law School and dropped out to be a comedian. So now we're going to go into...
Also, he was married, which is scary to me. He has, like, a Pete Holmes-style...
Syndrome.
Pete Holmes syndrome, where he got married at, like, 25 and then got divorced, like, 3 years later. What? Anyway, I totally forgot to re-listen to his You Made It Weird.
Fine.
But it's good.
It's finals month.
Yeah.
Exactly. But actually...
So now for our first segment.
Yes.
Chloe Gabba Gabba!
No! This Week in Search
History! No! I knew that it was This Week in Search History!
What are you looking at? You just wanted to say, we need like a This Week in... Oh, God.
Sorry.
We need a This Week in Search History theme song like, This Week in Search History! That was improvised.
That was good.
Improv, guys.
I'll record that for next time and just play it every time.
I forgot the melody I just said, that's how bad it was.
I'm trying to think of like a historical song or like a word that has history in it. Or, I mean, a song that has history in it, so we could just... insert This Week in
Search. How about Sam Cooke's, like,
it's all just a little bit of search history repeating.
Oh, ooh, I don't know that one. Oh.
That was a James Bond theme, like, 10 years ago. I don't know when it was James Bond theme, but it was.
Wait, how do you check your search history on Google Chrome?
Don't you click on the search button?
I'm doing that and, like, nothing's happening.
Whatever. So my search history...
I'll just go to
see. The last thing I searched was, my name is pronounced with a, because I was searching that song that we were hearing. My name is Humpty, pronounced with an umpty. And I couldn't remember what the song was. It's the Humpty Dance.
It didn't say the word Humpty, so it wasn't clear.
I searched The Odyssey, list of Shakespeare characters, what time do the SATs end?
What? Are you planning on reapplying to this college?
Because I'm visiting a friend, this weekend, and she has to take the SATs, so depending on what time I arrive, I'll have to, like, wait at the train station for her to finish the SATs.
Yeah.
Because she's a senior in high school. AV script, which is audio-visual script, where you, like, write what happens in one column visually, and then in another column with the audio, because I couldn't figure out what that was. How to limit posts on Facebook, because someone was writing annoying... stuff on Facebook.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the thing about how, like, apparently there's, like, a new privacy thing where you,
that's
like...
That's fake.
Yeah, like, I know the bulletin is fake and doesn't work, but it's apparently, like, some new Facebook thing where it's like your
illegal.
Posts aren't private
aren't
anymore.
Yours. Yeah. Facebook owns your posts.
I mean, like,
I saw somewhere that really might care. Be illegal, so they might be... Yeah, I don't post anything that's, like, my art or any...
Like, I don't post anything incriminating, just potentially
exactly.
awkward.
Like, I don't post anything... I mean, that's not okay, like, they should stop that, but I don't post anything that, like...
Bad.
Could be stolen, you know what I mean?
Oh.
There's no, like, intellectual property on my Facebook. So, yeah.
My search history is not that fascinating. It's, like, really gross consumeristic, like, gray... mid-calf boots, like, cheap. I really want... Guys, if you guys want to buy me a present, get me gray mid-calf height boots with no heel, because my feet hurt!
One day we'll have enough fans that people will just send us gifts.
One day.
One day more. I searched Gray Delisle, who's a voice artist, because she has a Tumblr, and apparently she's, like, really crazy and insane on Tumblr. And I couldn't figure out what she was. Celtics, which is the script writing website. How to format a sitcom script.
You mean Celtics?
It's called Celtics.
Is it?
Yeah. I watched one of the videos. I thought it was Celtics, too, but then I watched one of the videos, and he was like, it's
Boston
Celtics. And how big is a cocktail napkins?
What if you took off tail napkins? Sorry. We're running super long.
You read yours really...
Mine is just, like, different websites. I, like, looked up, like, Zappos, like... And this is my Safari history. I can't figure out how to look at my Google Chrome one, which is where all the porn is, but, just kidding. And then I looked up, like, schedule maker combinations, because I tried finding some kind of thing that would help me, like, input all my class options and then see which one was, like...
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. And then I downloaded Google Chrome, and I was like, this browser is better.
Oh, yeah, I love Google Chrome. I don't use it, but it's good. Because I have, like, I'm, like, so used to Safari now, I can't switch. The only interesting thing that I searched on my iPad was Vedic phrases and transcendental meditation. Because I tried meditating the other day, because I was really tired.
I'm just kidding.
It works!
I should. You do meditation and yoga, you're probably a very much, like, more relaxed type of person.
I don't do yoga.
Yeah, you do. You don't. Or Pilates.
Yeah. I know some yoga, so, like, occasionally I've done some. Because I know, like, some sun salutations and stuff. And it's really relaxing.
My sun salutation is staring into the sun until my eyes cry a little.
All right.
I don't do that on purpose. I never learn. All right, with that, we're going to go into the next two tracks. The Remix and Other Jokes by Dimitri Martin from his 2006 album, These Are Jokes.
I'd like to try something for you guys.
And we're back!
Hey, guys.
Sorry, we got distracted.
We're looking at tweets Twitter. In preparation for our upcoming segment.
Exactly. So that
was The Remix and Other Jokes by Dimitri
exactly.
Martin. And we're just cracking up here in the studio because we haven't heard those in a
exactly.
while.
Exactly. And we're also reading tweets.
And reading good tweets that we're going to read later. But so, yeah, Dimitri Martin's style of joke telling, we hit on this earlier. But I guess I think what's very unique about him is his use of imagery. So we should, of course, talk about that.
I totally agree.
So he uses the easel, not in this special, but the person yeah. one.
Also and, in his half hour, I think he used
yes. the easel. Very individual components. And he kind of uses his Husei account as like an outlet for that.
Yeah, yeah.
He does like... Not, I don't know if they're daily. They might be daily. But he has tons of, like, drawings that he does on there and, like, then with, like, funny captions. Like, one I saw the other day was, like, a butt with, like, quotation marks, like, tattooed on either side. It was just, like, funny. And then the caption was just tattoo.
He's so smart. Something that I liked about his TV show, mm-hmm. Important Things, was whenever he had animations and he would just talk about what...
Don't get distracted
Sorry,
by
my
iPad.
iPad just asked me if I wanted to shut it off, which I don't.
And you're like, no!
Basically. He always had animations in every mm-hmm. episode. I can't really specifically remember any of them in particular, but they were always very funny and, like, made you think.
Would they, like, buffer the segments?
Kind of, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they'd be using, like, transitions?
Like, I do remember one. One was, like, where do jokes go?
Oh, yeah, I remember
I think
that
was a puppet one, not animation. But it was, like, where do jokes go after I tell them? And it was, mm-hmm. like, they float up into space, and it was just, like, really cute.
Yeah, his stuff is very cutesy-wootsy.
Yeah.
I really loved his Comedy Central show. I watched it, like,
it was really
religiously.
Good. Yeah, me too.
And I was sad when it didn't get... I don't know if it didn't get picked up or if he didn't want to do it anymore.
I don't know. I had two seasons.
I think it didn't get...
Picked up.
Because I think, you know, like many awesome shows which go over the head of, like, many people watching, like Arrested Development or something like that,
Louis.
It doesn't, yeah, what, like what?
Like Louis. Like
well, yeah, Louis. But I mean, that's in high demand.
That's true.
But, like, a lot of really good stuff doesn't get picked up just because of, like, literal, like, Nielsen demographics. Like, I don't know what 85-year-old people still are a part of those demographics from, like, the 60s
oh, yeah.
or whatever.
Totally.
But they're totally not representative of the consumer right now. They should put Nielsen boxes on, like, our laptops.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Personally, our laptops.
Only, like, people, only, like, comedians who live in L.A., their laptops. Comedians. They should put laptops on comedians.
They should put laptops on comedians.
Yes.
You heard it here.
Nielsen boxes on comedians, laptops, and televisions, because I feel like comedians always know the smart and funny things to watch. And like,
or a mass killing of old people. No, what? Who said that? but yeah, he's got a very cartoonist sensibility, very New Yorkery.
Yeah, a lot of his jokes like just could be a New Yorker cartoon.
Yeah.
Like,
I wonder if he ever did like a little work for them, because I know Pete Holmes like does some cartoons for them.
Maybe.
And also, of course, we're going to plug it again at the end of the show, but Dimitri Martin did a You Made It Weird podcast with Pete Holmes. You can learn more about
yeah.
who he is and, like, his, I guess, personal aspects. Pete Holmes probably asked him about religion or something.
And not race.
How does it feel to be a black man, Dimitri Martin?
And love and comedy. That's the three things he talks about.
Another thing I just remembered about his show was that, like, H. John Benjamin was on it, and I was like, who the hell this guy? He was in, like, every sketch, and I was like, who is this? And then, like, the year after it was canceled, or, like, a couple years after, it was like, H. John Benjamin has a van coming soon. And then, like, did it ever even make it on TV?
I don't know, but I remember that.
I never saw it.
Also, he voices Archer, and he's, like, a really big voice actor now. He is Archer.
John Benjamin?
Yeah, H. John Benjamin. Yep. Yep. He's like a big character.
Oh, I think his show was John Benjamin Has a Van. Like, I think they took the H out.
They took the H out.
I don't know why that matters, but it does.
Wait, is it the 28th? Right? Yeah, it is. Nick Kroll shows tonight at the Wolver.
I want to go. Vernon saw Pete Holmes this weekend.
Died.
We forgot to ask him about it.
Where did he see him?
At the member who was bragging to us. He saw him at the whatever theater.
You.
I know. I want to know who his opener was, but,
Probably, I know who it was. I don't think it was Chris Thayer.
Taping, right? It wasn't a...
No, it wasn't a taping. Okay. I know it was one local guy and one other guy. What?
Brandon, because your lack of John Benjamin knowledge is sad.
Thanks,
I mean, like, I know who he is.
Why don't you come and be a guest,
Brandon? At the time.
This is your official invite.
That would be so bad, because he would just school the crap out of us.
That's okay. Brandon, come be a guest on our show.
What's his... The other Brandon still hasn't...
Oh, yeah! Brandon Scott Wolf!
BS Dubs is too busy being SNL contributing, weekend update, blah, blah, blah.
Yawn.
Snore, ZZZ. how was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty good. I had two Thanksgivings, because I had one on...
Because my parents are divorced, whatever!
My parents are not divorced. My parents are married.
Happily.
Happily married. I had Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving.
My God, really?
Thanks,
I'm just kidding. I'm in a sassy mood.
we went up to our neighbor's apartment, like a few floors above us. We had Thanksgiving with them, and like they just had like a big get together.
Do I know your neighbors?
No. And that was fun. There was some, oh my God, there was a German guy and his sister who were there they'd never celebrated Thanksgiving because they're not American.
Or not hated Jews. What?
What?
just kidding.
And they like didn't know what some of the dishes were. So he was like, what are you cooking? And my neighbor was like, oh, I'm making, squash. Wait, what is the...
Schnitzel.
What is the, like, prefix for squash? It's like, something squash?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking... Like,
it's like a type
squash,
of
squash, or...
I feel so dumb. What...
I don't know, squash is gross. No hate.
It was like some... I'm going to say pumpkin... It wasn't pumpkin squash, but I for some reason, I'm blanking on the name of the squash. But my neighbor's like, making pumpkin squash soup. Is Brandon telling us what type of squash?
Okay. He's still talking about John, but what if he was like, it's this kind of squash? I wasn't even there, and I know.
It was like, it's like a famous... Whatever. She was like, it's pumpkin squash soup, and he was like... Pumpkin scratch soup. And I was like, yes.
Pumpkin crotch.
Yes. Round of applause.
That's so funny.
And also my, it's very funny. My, neighbor and her mom have this insane dynamic. Cause her mom is from the Dominican Republic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So her mom was, we were all standing in a circle and her mom was like, she started yelling and she was like, everyone has to go around and say what they give a thanks to God for. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Anytime she said, so what do you give thanks to a God for?
A God?
Yeah. And
She's like, a God.
My neighbor would go, or whoever you believe in.
Like,
that was amazing.
Punctuating everything with like, or she.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's funny.
They're great. They're very funny. And then I had Thanksgiving with my extended family in Massachusetts. My parents never stopped talking about our radio show. They didn't shut up about it.
Thanks for plugging, guys.
No, it's good that they were talking about it. But also annoying, but also good.
That just makes me think about how my parents didn't say anything about it.
Did your parents listen to it?
They stopped after... Cause like
but they can download the
My podcast. Mom listens to it on iTunes.
Okay,
and she's always
That's
like, you're too loud,
to
Chloe. I guess I need to sit farther away from the mic.
I can turn your thing down.
No, don't. I love the
Mine's
spotlight.
Mine's way up because I was too quiet.
Okay, good. I think your mic is just quieter.
I agree.
But, no, my Thanksgiving was good.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
My grandma got... I was going to say this in Media Crit today, but he was like, let's hear from some people who haven't said anything yet.
Shut it, Chloe. That's what he means.
Shut your face. But, I was going to say this in Media Crit, but, like... My uncle is, like, a really techie guy, so he, like, got an iPad for his birthday, so he was, like, showing us stuff on it.
Was his birthday, like, recently?
No, like, it was, I mean, because I haven't seen him since, like, the summer, but, he was showing us, like, stuff on his iPad, and then, like, my two, like, cousins were showing me stuff on their iPhone, and basically, like, and then, like, my mom was, like, doing some, like, showing people stuff on her iPod Touch, and just, like, everyone was doing stuff on their little devices, and my grandma, like, flipped out, because she was, like,
not old!
Yeah, like, she was, like, she didn't flip out, it was kind of sad, like, I felt bad and, like, turned my phone off, because I went over and sat with her, and I was, like, hey, and she was, like, everyone, I'm, like, well, how's, what's up, and she was, like, what's going on, homie, but, like, she was, like,
sup, lady,
sup, what you doing?
What's up, chit?
Chitch. But she was like, everyone's like on their little devices, and like I don't understand what everyone's referring to, and I feel really left out. And I was like, oh my god. But like, she's also like, she didn't articulate it in that depressing way, but she was like frustrated.
Yeah.
So then I like turned my phone off, and my cousin was like, no, turn it back on. I need to like show you this app, like the thing where you tap your iPhones together and it exchanges pictures. It's like some stupid like cloud app that makes it seem like you're defying science by tapping your phone together. And I was like, no, like just send me a picture and a message. It's why I pay for messaging. Like it was just dumb. But other than that, Thanksgiving was awesome. Ate like 12 different kinds of pie.
Oh my god, I always like eat a little bit of the actual meal and then I'm like, yes, dessert! And I just shove as much pie as I can in my mouth.
I just ate like a tiny bit of turkey and then I was like, gonna try every single dessert.
Exactly.
So
I have to have a little bit. I'll just have like
a little
one
of
as well.
What's that thing? Oh, you know that SNL sketch where like they're doing a board meeting where like the boss is trying to tell them that he's laying everyone off, and Fred Armisen just keeps eating the cookies.
Yep, yeah.
I'll just have one more. Like that was
he's, like
me.
Leaning over the table.
Do you want to just take the plate? No, I'm done. I swear.
I love that sketch. That's like from 5 years ago.
We're having a really fun show today because we keep running over, but that's a good sign because that means we have lots to talk about.
Exactly.
So with that, we're going to run into Sames and Opposites by Dimitri Martin. And yeah.
All right, here we go.
Okay, guys, I'm going to try something over here.
Hello.
Now we are. It's supposed to be playing a promo from the dad, but I think I turned the thing down.
Oh, the computer?
Oh, wait, let me play it. Here we go.
All right, guys.
This is WECB, College Radio.
Yeah, sorry about that. And that was off. Okay. So you just heard Sames and Opposites, a lovely song from Dimitri Martin.
An example of combining music with jokes.
Exactly.
Far more likable than, like, something like Garfunkel and Oates.
Exactly.
Which isn't bad. Yeah. I just think that this is more inherently
is funnier,
creative, because, like, why would anyone just say jokes over music?
Exactly. Like,
without even trying to make it a song.
I feel like why I like this, as opposed to Garfunkel and Oates, is he, like, chooses a theme and then says everything about that theme, rather than choosing like a very specific thing and singing a whole song about that, which is also why I like Hard and Firm.
Yeah, I bet you do. Just kidding.
Hell yeah. So that was Sames and Opposites. I don't know if I already said that. So let's go into our next segment because we're running,
or our next discussion.
Yeah, our next discussion, in which we discuss
my favorite part,
the television shows.
Which we're learning in Media Crit is evil and ruining our lives.
I hate that book.
Well,
you know.
You mean you disagree with the concepts?
No, I hate it. Tell me about SNL because I did not watch it.
All right.
Jeremy Renner.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, boy.
Like, sketch-wise. Like, a lot of stuff fell super flat. Like, I was kind of like, oh my god, yay, they're gonna do, like, an Avengers sketch. It was the worst sketch of the show.
God.
Like, it wasn't even badly written, it was just poorly executed. Like, something went wrong with the directing or, like, where the cuts were. Because, like, of course, like, the actors are good. I think it just the punchlines didn't hit. There wasn't like a big laughter in any point in that sketch, I don't think. And a lot of the laughter was really muted, actually. I noticed, like, especially in the cold open, which was the they basically had Cecily Strong doing like a reading, like as Paula Broadstone reading the Paula Broadwell reading a like from her, you know, the whole thing, the Petraeus thing.
Oh,
like
yes,
they had
yes.
Cecily Strong as Paula Broadwell reading.
Is that the co-author?
No, she was the like the author of his biography, and she like had the affair with him.
Oh, right. I thought, yeah, because they, like, she talked to him a lot. That's why I'm thinking they were co-authors.
So, like, Cecily played her and, like, did a thing where it was, like, a book reading, like, for a group of people at, like, a, either, like, a library or a bookstore. I don't even remember. But, basically, the whole sketch was just her reading the book, but it was just, like, erotic Fifty Shades of Grey stuff. Like, then Petraeus, like, blah, blah, blah.
Funny.
And basically, the gag, that was, like, the only joke. And then the only joke other than that, like, there wasn't any real crescendo in, like, what she was saying. But the only other joke in addition to that was that everyone kept leaving. Like, people just kept getting up. But then, like, for the last 30 seconds of the sketch, it was just Fred Armisen, like, eagerly listening, which was funny. It's not hysterical. It's not, like, and then the, and Live from New York at Saturday Night, like, was from, like, it wasn't even yelled by anyone. I think it was, like, just text that said it. It
That's
was weird.
Weird.
It was strange.
That's really weird.
And then they did another Petraeus sketch later in the show that didn't hit that hard either. And it was just, like, making fun of, like, I think just general news coverage. It was like a Wolf Blitzer thing with like Sudeikis doing his Wolf Blitzer, which always makes me laugh. But
Who
this one didn't make me laugh.
Next week?
The next week, I have no idea. I have been so swamped. But it then like the only joke of the second Petraeus sketch was just like, I mean, it was funny. It was just wasn't like hysterical.
Yeah, yeah.
And like sometimes that's okay, but I feel like I couldn't really think of one really amazing. I'm sure there was one really good one. I just can't remember it right now. But the whole bit of the Wolf Blitzer sketch was just that they kept replaying the same sequence of her walking to her car over and over and over again, which was really funny. And it wasn't Broadwell. It was, like, Jill Kelly, the other lady.
What about Weekend Update?
I'm having trouble. I watched it last week,
were
like,
there,
on
like,
Saturday.
Guests? I mean, were there, like...
I think it was the one where Christy came on. If I'm correct.
It was.
Yeah, that was really funny.
It
Did
was.
You see that clip?
No, but I saw a picture of it.
You definitely got to watch it.
I'm going to.
Actually, okay, that was the standout funny part, because as much as I hate Chris Christie and, like, his stance on everything, even though he's, like, kind of, you know, moderate for a conservative guy.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he's moderate, but he's just, like, so against teachers. Like, literally everything he does is, like, the opposite of what's good for teachers. But, he did a really funny. He showed that he was in on it. You know, he can poke fun at himself.
And he
was. He just screamed at Seth, and
didn't
like was aggressive.
Didn't he say something about wearing that sweater
and
until
like
he dies?
Seth was like, "Where can I get one of those fleeces?" Or something like you've been photographed in that fleece a lot. And he's like, "I'm gonna die in this fleece, Seth." And it was so true though, because he wears it to every damn press conference to show like he's a man of the people. But don't forget, he's the governor.
Yeah.
It says it right
man
here.
Man of the people coat.
Yeah,
I just
listened to that on the bus. It's like still ringing in my head.
For our listeners, Nick,
man of the people. Chelsea Peretti commented on
Nick Kroll's coat because it was like a really expensive, like working man's
like
looking
khaki.
Coat.
Khaki
so
coat.
Nick Kroll
like
made fun of the
like
hat.
There.
Yeah. Nick Kroll made fun of a hat that Chelsea Peretti was wearing, and then she, without missing a beat, said, "Man of the people coat." And then
Pete
Holmes and Nick Kroll
her.
And Chelsea Peretti laughed for, like, 10 minutes.
And I laughed, too, and I was like, "Ah, I'm
exactly.
friends with you, too, right?"
I, like, want to tell people that they're my friends,
but
like
they're not.
They have never seen me in their entire lives.
Or will,
or
most likely.
Or will never.
Sad moment in the studio. But yeah, so SNL, meh, worth a watch for Weekend Update.
I always like watching it.
I always watch it anyway.
Yeah.
I will always watch it, and I will never hate it.
Me too.
I will just either love it or be satisfied.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't understand people who are like, "Screw SNL, like, they
stink." I think people who hate SNL, like, watch it and then just instead of...
They want to sound smart, so they're like, it wasn't that good. Like, they think criticizing it makes them more, like, yeah. in tune with what's good or not, and it doesn't.
And
it
I think
makes
people,
you sound like a
I think
D.
dumb people watch it, and they're like, that was stupid, I don't want to laugh. And then mm-hmm. people who aren't dumb watch it with a critical eye rather than mm-hmm. a flat, broad criticism, which mm-hmm. is just, I don't like it. So on to the other two shows. I didn't finish Parks and Rec. I'm halfway through right now. But Joe Biden was on it, which was so
that
cool.
That was probably the hardest I've laughed at a cold open for
so funny.
Those like sitcom-y shows yeah. in like a while. Because usually those are the funniest parts of the shows anyway, and those are the ones that make me like laugh pretty hard. That one I was like dying laughing.
Yeah. He's funny.
He's good timing.
He's got comedic chops.
Yeah.
He should be an actor after he leaves the White
I think
House.
We all know that Joe Biden's inherently hilarious.
Insane. An insane person. But yeah, that was very funny. But I didn't finish the episode, so I don't know what happens at the end. So don't spoil it for me.
Can you remind me what... Because I watched it. I watched all these last week when
they
were
actually
on.
It's April versus Leslie.
Oh, you know what? Park. That plot made me kind of uncomfortable. It felt a little forced. I couldn't picture April being like, I hate you, Leslie. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Because she's kind of just like...
Like, I understood. Yeah. I understood what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And, like, make it, like,
Harris Whittles
a mother-daughter thing. Yeah, like, all the jokes were awesome. Yeah. I just thought that... I felt like that plot was a little bit reaching for yeah. a plot.
But I don't want to spend too much time on Parks and Rec because 30 Rock was so good
30
this
Rock
week.
Was really awesome. I need to figure out who wrote it.
Yeah. I rewound...
The jokes were really tight.
The, cutaway about, Tracy's daughter, like, mm-hmm. 60 times.
That was really great.
Where she's just sitting beep. In the car, beep, beep, Christmas, beep, beep, Blakey.
Like, and if anyone knows whose kid that is,
yeah, who
tell
is that
me.
Child?
She's
I think
in
it's
all
Tracy
the episodes.
Gordon's daughter. But Tracy she Gordon? Always plays Tracy Jordan. Oh, no,
Tracy
I think it's Tracy
Gordon is like a superhero.
I didn't say that.
I always say, like, confuse. I always say Tracy Jordan.
Who is the real person?
No, Tracy Morgan's the real person.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying you mm-hmm. always
yeah,
say
yeah,
Tracy
yeah.
Morgan. Yeah.
Because they rhyme and they are rhyme. Similar.
Exactly. Like Liz Lemon is Elizabeth Tina Fey.
Stematina.
Exactly.
Wait, what was I? Oh, and then my favorite 30 Rock joke, which they were all really spot on, but the one that I like died at and like just had to pause to appreciate how like good it was when Tracy enters the room and goes, get me a black coffee, and by that I mean a sun kiss.
Ah, yeah, that made
and
me
I
laugh.
I was just like, ah, that was really good.
I was left at the Word end play. When Tracy and Jack were about to kiss. They were like leaning into each other, and then Liz walked in, and they were like, oh. That made me laugh.
Shuttle,
that
shudder
was very
a
good.
Little.
It was a really good episode. Very worth it. I remember all the jokes actually, which is rare.
Yeah, that means they're good.
Yeah. They're always, like, good episodes, but it's just, you don't, like, the plot is good, but you just don't necessarily
I'm getting
remember
a little weirded out about how we barely see James Marsden anymore.
Because I think he's, like, doing other things.
I know, like, but, like, it's a weird job. That, like, this last season is supposed to be so central on, like,
and we
Liz
never
getting,
see him.
Like, I'm pretty sure it ends with her getting married to him. I heard
I
that's
so
how it
too.
Ends. And I think it's weird that we're not... Like, seeing more of him, like,
yeah.
I don't know. What the heck is he doing anyway? James Marsden's not even that famous, is he?
He's pretty famous.
He was in that Easter movie.
And he was, what?
He was in a movie about Easter, and we watched it at my friend Ashley's house, like, on Easter last year. I think it was called, like, Hop. But it was
Wait,
really
oh,
stupid.
I know, you know what?
Really
I know exactly
funny.
What you're talking about. But he was also in Hairspray. He played,
yeah.
he was so
Doesn't
good in Hairspray,
role,
and he
though.
Sang, and it was really hot.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great
he's
actor.
So
I'm just saying, what the heck else is he doing? He should, I mean, maybe they don't even write him parts. He's not like, I don't know, they kind of exhausted his hot dog truck jokes. Maybe they're just trying to think
yeah.
of something new.
And like, he's so cute.
By
like,
their time.
I want him to be on the show all the time.
With his little lips.
Ugh. He's so cute. He's perfect teeth. I bet he smells really good.
Creepy observation.
Anyway.
Should we go?
Yeah, sure.
Into next track?
Are we playing one or two? Just one.
We're playing These Jokes by Dimitri Martin.
Okay, here we go.
I'd like to invite my friend Leo onto the stage to help me with something. Leo.
And we're back.
Hey, guys.
You just heard These Jokes off of Dimitri Martin's 2006 album, These Are Jokes. So this is the
Indeed.
Almost the titular track off
the namesake.
The namesake, the title track.
The title track. For people who pronounce it weird.
So let's talk about his movie. We both saw it, right?
Yeah, Taking Woodstock I've seen several times because I actually really like it.
And you read the book?
Yeah, I read the book that it's based off of.
It is different. Wow, so.
Because it is like a crazy, like, detailed novel about like S&M gay sex in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And then the movie, Taking Woodstock, like, is more about the time and the era. Yeah. And then
and it has maybe 15 seconds
yeah,
of gay
yeah.
stuff.
The book is, like, mostly...
He kisses one man for, like, 5 seconds. That's yeah. all you see.
And Demetri Martin, like, in an interview, talked about being really uncomfortable doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw that. It was very
and I was
cute.
Like, oh, my God. But, yeah, the book mostly...
The movie's underrated, I think.
Totally. I love the
it's
movie.
It's great.
I would watch the movie right now if it was on Netflix.
It's perf.
It's really good.
And I don't... remember who else is in it besides Demetri Martin.
A lot of really good people. I can't remember.
I was
who's
slightly too young to recognize anybody when I saw the first time.
Liev Schreiber is the drag queen.
Totally. Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
He's really good in it. And then there's a lot of other really funny people sprinkled out. But yeah, in the meantime, I'll talk about the book, Taking Woodstock. The book is more about the main character who Demetri Martin plays, Elliot. It's more about his experience of growing up in, like, kind of a conservative, like, sheltered family. And, like, during the time, it was kind of, like, the sexual revolution was, like, provided the right climate for him to, like, start to slowly come out of his shell and then, like, literally come out. And it was a lot of his, like, sexual experiences in the 70s. But
wow.
then Taking Woodstock, I feel like if that was the whole movie, Demetri Martin would have been like, no.
Absolutely.
But the movie
not.
Was way more about kind of the feeling of Woodstock. And then Demetri
yeah.
Martin was not even, like, a super main. I mean, he was a main.
It was more like.
It was
the,
more like his story in relation to
yeah,
Woodstock.
He was, like, he was the one thread that threaded the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Rather than it was about him. And It was essentially like vague speculation that he was gay mm-hmm. until that guy kissed him in like
and
the
then
living
he's
room.
Like, yeah.
And then he was like, "All right."
His parents are so funny in that movie.
His parents are played
hilarious.
By Jake. Nope, arcade by Henry.
No one that old and Jewish would have the name Jake.
Henry Goodman and Imelda Staunton.
Or go by Jake. Yeah, Imelda Staunton's yeah. really funny in that movie.
And then of course, Emile Hirsch, Jeffrey Dean Morgan,
mm-hmm.
and Eugene
who's
Levy.
Who's Jeffrey Dean Morgan in that? Because I know he's
he looks
he's
like
in
Javier
Watchmen.
Bardem.
No. I know who he is because he was in
Dan?
Watchmen. I don't know
which one's Dan.
I want to rewatch it.
Me too.
Again, love it.
But Eugene Levy's in it.
Yeah,
I love
he's
him.
Funny.
Eugene Levy's amazing.
Directed by Ang Lee.
Yeah, Ang Lee.
Classy.
Vehicle. I don't see. Oh, Jonathan Groff is in it. I forgot about that. I didn't know Adam Pally was in it.
Yeah, he's one of the stoned hippies, I'm pretty
oh,
sure. I'm pretty sure that
again
was him.
Now that I know who these people
is
are.
Is it? I might be totally wrong.
He's in it. I mean...
I might be wrong. I think he was one of the stoned hippies.
Liev Schreiber.
Awesome as a Vietnam vet, I think, and slash drag
yeah,
queen.
Paul
or some
Dano.
Kind of war vet.
Paul Dano's in it.
Mm-hmm. Great cast.
This is a great cast.
I was really impressed when that came out that Demetri Martin, like, got the lead. Because at that point, we
yeah.
just knew him from, like, stand-up and, like, little Comedy Central stuff.
And it was pretty, like...
He had good acting chops.
Yeah.
Good acting
oh,
chops.
Oh, Damien Kulash is in it, who's the lead singer of OK Go.
What? Who is he?
Uncredited.
Yeah, what?
uncredited singer. Damien Kulash.
I guess he gave his vocals.
That's basically everybody. But yeah, it's a great movie. I think the writing, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in a long time, but the writing is, like, pretty tight, and I think
it's very realistic.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The way he
it's
speaks,
very,
it's not, like, forced.
And it's still, like, true to Demetri Martin, too. Like, it's not too insane.
Like, I think that kind of period movie could really alienate you, but it was really easy to kind of,
yeah.
like, follow along with, like, how he was thinking, and, like, because I think the huge difference that, like, you should read the book, my ex-boyfriend's little sister, like, stole it. Like, I lent it to her because she's, like, really into Woodstock, and then I just never got it back.
How old is she?
I think she's a junior in high school. But Ugh, I really want it back now to reread it. It's actually a pretty good book, but the huge difference that Demetri Martin brings to the main character is that he's way more uncertain. Like, he conveys this level of, like, young uncertainty that's, like, super relatable. But then in the book, the character's like, I want gay men, I just don't know how people will, like, think of me. But I guess you can just imagine that that's all going on underneath the surface Demetri Martin's character.
Totally.
Really,
I felt some of the soundtrack is really, really good.
Soundtrack's
and my
amazing.
Mom loved it because she was born in 1960.
My mom would be like, "Yeah, it's too much sexual stuff." And it's like, Mom, it's 4 seconds.
There's no sex.
Exactly. She'd be like, "It's implied." Oh my eyes.
It's implied.
No, it's a really awesome movie, though.
Yep. Yeah. You wanted to go into our next segment?
Yes.
Clue Gabba Gabba.
Things
that suck.
That
awesome. I also wrote down the other thing that you said to write down.
What?
I'm gonna say it afterwards.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't write it down. It's on the other one, but I remember it.
Okay.
Over fancy language for very simple things. / books or people that try to be complicated who aren't. Like, we have to read this book for one of our classes, where it's a really simple, I'm trying to be as vague as possible, it's like a really simple concept, and the author just makes it so overcomplicated, and like, it, and like uses,
I'm trying to think of like,
not like difficult, not words that are difficult to understand, but like words that are just very like heady and wordy for no reason.
Like, you
just
it's,
to sound
it's like,
smart.
You know how there's a, like, a joke that's used in a lot of different sketches and movies and stuff like that, where it'll be like a really, it'll be like a subtitle thing where someone will say a really long thing and then the subtitle will be like, yes.
Yeah.
It's like the same exact thing, like, as the paragraph that they just said could have been 2 words.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's just talking for the sake of talking.
In this case, the entire book could be a paragraph or a chapter.
We're a generation of now. I want the answers.
And to further
adjectives.
That, there's a kid in this class who thinks he's so smart and is just garbage. Like, he doesn't know what he's saying.
Garbage.
And he just, like, talks, like, really slowly, like, quietly and, like, intently. So everyone wants to listen to him. But actually, what he's saying is really stupid.
And like, he'll do dramatic pauses.
Exactly. And, like, he's like, well, I think it's just, like, the meaning, like, and we're like, just shut up. What you're saying is pointless. Hurry up and then be quiet because no one wants to hear what you're saying.
Hopefully people relate to this. Someone out there's like, I do that.
No, I mean, there are for sure people, everyone knows someone who thinks they're really smart and is just an idiot. Hopefully those people are not us.
It totally is.
We're both
smart.
Oh,
wait, people who are mean to waitstaff.
Oh, my God.
That stresses me out.
That stresses me out. Like, those are people who make your food for you. Like, yeah, they're technically working for you and you're paying their paycheck, but they have the power to spit in your food.
Also, watch the movie Waiting with Ryan
Reynolds.
Oh,
my God, yeah, I've seen Waiting.
Yeah, it's super gross.
But also, like, I also get very upset if service at a restaurant is bad.
Yeah, that upsets me, but never to the point that I'll do anything
more than
get the waiter's attention and, like, be like, when is it coming out?
Like, I'll ask people, like, oh, when's the food coming out? Or, like, something like that. But I will flip out if someone asks to send their food back. I'm like, no,
I get embarrassed.
Or don't
like
eat
how
it.
You yelled at Breeze and you were like, you're not sending it back!
It's like no,
her salad.
You're eating that food.
She's like, I think it has too much dressing, which it did. It had like a disgusting amount of dressing.
But there's a way to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Drain
That's
it.
It's not having them make an entire
Yeah, cry
salad.
And get over it. That's a way to deal.
Eat your damn
veggies.
Wash
my damn lettuce.
Wash my damn lettuce. Yeah, that really upsets me. Both of those things.
Bad. I mean, people who are mean to waitstaff are the hecklers of restaurants.
Oh my God, totally. Like, these are, oh my God. I was at a restaurant with Breege once. She didn't mean to be mean to the waitstaff, but I was like, this woman's going to
I feel like she wouldn't be
she
mean.
She was just, oh, never.
Not
she
on
was
purpose.
Just distracted. She was looking at her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
the,
God.
The waitress came over and she was like, taking our order or whatever. And then
Breege
she got to
Breege.
She got to Breege and she was like, anything for you? And Breege was looking at her phone. She wasn't paying attention. And she said something like, oh, whatever. And she was because she was like reading a text message, and that was her like vocal response to her text message. I went, Breege, I'm sorry. She was looking at her text messages, and Breege was like, oh, sorry. And then she ordered, and I was like, oh my god, you better pray to God that woman doesn't spit in your food.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I can picture that so clearly.
It was so embarrassing. But I don't think she even said, like, whatever. It was, like, something
to herself
that could be directed at the waitress, but obviously it was not.
Or, like, shut up.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, shut up, or, like, get out of, like...
Get out of town.
Like, I can't believe this. Like,
that's so funny.
Freaks me out.
You were like, ah!
Exactly, because they're handling your food.
Yeah.
They're handling your sustenance, and, it, like, being a waitress sucks.
I'd rather die than be a waitress.
Well, maybe one day we'll have to be
that. It's a really good job. It makes so much money.
Especially a bartender. My friend Katya is a bartender.
I just would be bad at
it. And she makes bank. She told me the other day.
Is she cute?
Yeah, she's beautiful. she looks like a model. But she told me the other day that she might work New Year's because the average for New Year's is something like $30 an hour.
Yeah.
I think it's higher than that.
Especially if you're like... adorable and and I guess it also depends on like how packed the bar is,
but once
people hit that point of being drunk, they're gonna tip crazily.
And if you're pretty, they tip higher.
Yeah.
If you're a woman, they tip higher.
If they're lonely, they tip higher.
If you're nice, if you're lonely, they tip higher. Mm. All this stuff. But she had to take the bartending exam and she passed it somehow. Even though she's smart. I don't mean somehow because she's dumb. I mean somehow because it seems like it's insane.
I just would be bad at food service.
Me too. I just like if someone like spoke too quietly, I'd be like, "What? Speak louder."
Oh, I would just mess up their order because I have the memory of a squirrel.
You write it down.
Like my hands would cramp.
Oh yeah, you like
my
have,
messed
you,
up like, fingers.
Have arcade claw hands.
I really do. Also, side note, I think I'm getting carpal tunnel in both my hands. I'm not exaggerating and being like, oh my god, I'm on the computer so much.
Me too.
I have to take so many notes for all of my, like, all my classes this semester are really textbook based, so I'm always typing notes.
Yeah.
My fingers seize up and twitch, and my knuckles are swollen all the time.
Go to the doctor.
What is he going to do? Be like, stop typing?
We'll say, stop typing.
I can't.
He'll say exactly that.
No, but then I'm going to not do well in my classes because nothing goes in my head.
Do you understand what you're saying right now?
What?
Do you hear what's going on in your own mouth?
No, what's
you're like, I'm injured and the only, like, a doctor will tell me
what to do.
Go to the doctor.
I mean, like.
And you'll have to wear a cast.
Like, other times besides when I'm typing? I don't understand.
Yeah, always.
But then how
am I gonna
type?
Have you ever seen someone with carpal tunnel? They have, like, a cast and you can't type. They have, like, a.
Sorry. Just read a text. ow, God, my hands really hurt.
Impolite text from Brandon. That's what we were laughing at.
Ow.
Yeah. You're like, oh, my personal health.
But
is
I don't
not
understand what you're saying. Like, I would have to wear a cast and therefore not
but
be able to take
notes.
You
can still take
You can't type if you have a cast on your hand.
Have you ever seen a carpal tunnel?
Yeah,
cast?
Yeah. It's like over your thumb.
Yeah, but you can still use your hands. My cousin played violin and had
my
carpal
thumbs
tunnel.
Don't hurt
and
though. My fingers hurt. Like
that's
my other fingers.
You have tendons. That's what carpal tunnel is.
No, I know, but then how would the cast help if it just goes over my thumb?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Why not?
Go to the doctor anyway because that's your body telling you that something's wrong.
No, I'm not like, I'm writing about it in my, like, I have to in my media journal. I'm writing, like, my hands hurt. He's going to be like,
your dumb class.
No, I wrote that. I wrote, like, my hands hurt because I'm writing in this diary and I can't type. And then my answer, conversely, because I'm typing. We need to go in the next track.
Okay.
Personal Information Waltz by Dimitri Martin.
This one features a special guest who hopefully you'll probably recognize.
Former SNL cast member.
Yep. Here we go.
This is called the Personal Information Waltz.
Hey, guys!
Hi, we're back. So that was
Personal Information Waltz.
Yep, totally
with Will Forte.
That was a nice treat. I miss Will Forte.
Yeah,
where is he gone? Where have you gone?
I don't know. I think he tweets like occasionally.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, ever since Brother Solomon, haven't heard too much.
Oh, I miss him. He was so good on SNL. Like,
yeah,
I want to go back and watch
characters.
Exactly. I want to go back and watch.
I miss Daryl Hammond too.
Me too.
His impersonations were so good. Is he really?
Yeah.
I think he wrote a book about
it. I feel like he wrote a book and then he was like, I'm addicted to coke.
Yeah, but he's like a cool dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, that bit, more music plus comedy equals good. And I just like Will Forte randomly screaming.
Exactly.
And other previously said jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You gotta agree with the song. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think it's so funny when Dimitri cracks in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't finish his joke.
I love that.
Or can't even start because he's laughing at Will.
I know, it's like a guilty thing to like. Like, you know, you love when they laugh and break character.
But like, it's not malicious, like, haha, they broke character. It's just fun.
Like a giddy laughter. Yeah. Like, tee.
Exactly. Like, it's so fun to know that they're enjoying, like, they think things are funny and they're enjoying their own comedy and other people's comedy. And, like, they still think things are funny, even though they may act like they've heard everything. I love it. I think it really humanizes them. So, let's do our next segment.
Favorite segment.
Tweet of the week! We have something special.
What?
That was good. Wait, let's do it again.
Tweet of the week!
Yeah!
Dun, dun, dun. We are going to spotlight a really incredible Twitter moment that happened yesterday.
Yesterday?
In which, it happened yesterday.
Oh, no, what are you talking about? Sorry.
Twitter beef. If you haven't already heard about it, just go look up the news story on HuffPost Comedy. Just search HuffPost Comedy, Chris Brown, Twitter tirade. I think it was like,
yeah. I mean, I'm just...
Twitter saying. Meltdown or tire. I forget which word. So it was one of those
two. If you search HuffPost...
Jenny Johnson, Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, yeah.
So basically, Jenny Johnson is a former news producer, now comedy writer. She has a lot of followers on Twitter just for... tweeting a lot of really good things, and she has like a lot of comedians following her, and she's pretty good at tweeting like jokes from this like a-hole kind of persona.
Yeah.
One of her favorite pastimes, and she's not even alone in this, like a lot of comedians will tweet at Chris Brown like, you stink, but
because he does, like, he's the
worst human being alive right now. Not true, but true.
He's up there.
He's definitely up there. But so she, I guess, you know, provoked him. I mean, you can't even say that because it's like he probably gets so much hate mail on Twitter like every day.
I think she was just the straw that broke the
camel's back. But she tweeted, I mean, you guys should look at it, the screen grabs, because I think they're still up. But basically, this ended with him deleting his Twitter. But he tweeted, man, like, I look old for 23. And she tweeted back, like, I know, right? Being a piece of ish can really age a person.
Yeah.
Or being a worthless piece of ish can really age a person. Hilarious. And true. And then he tweeted back with a series of really gross, like just randomly, specifically gross things that he wanted to do to her.
And, like, clearly he thought he was being so funny.
Yeah,
like, when he wrote those tweets, he was
my God.
I nailed this woman.
Like, he kept doing, like, hashtag swag, like, hashtag you're a hater. Like, if you have enough people that hate you in which you have to use the phrase haters, you are a bad person and people hate you for a reason. Like, if you have enough haters that it warrants an expression...
Yeah, then you are...
You're doing something wrong.
You deserve hate, probably.
Exactly. But so, basically, some people were saying, like, oh, like, she shouldn't have kept responding. It was just, like, encouraging him. But
also,
I mean,
like, she doesn't care.
She doesn't care, but, like,
she wants
she
to provoke
was getting
him because
death
he's...
threats from his, like, crazy, psychotic followers. They were being like, I'm going to kill her because she made him delete his Twitter. He deleted it on his own, probably because his PR manager was like, no!
Yeah, his PR manager was like, never speak in public again.
The only thing that he could have done to make himself look worse than he already does is to be misogynistic again, and that's exactly what he did. If he was just like... had an ounce of self-control and either A, didn't answer, or B, was
didn't
like an ounce more respectful in that exchange... And, like, not... Because if he just hurled regular insults back at her, I don't think people would have been like, my God! But they were markedly misogynistic responses.
Exactly. And it was, like, And, like, he decided to be misogynistic. Like, she did nothing to suggest that she was a woman or, like, she could have been anybody. And of course, like, her.
Yeah,
she's obviously a woman, but she did nothing to, like...
Like, that wasn't what her point was
exactly.
about. Her and point he, was just he that just he was decided a terrible person.
To, yeah, and she just...
And he
she
was
said
like,
nothing
you
about him
should
even
do
being
sex
a man.
Acts on me.
Exactly.
Yeah, she just called him a piece of crap.
It was one... I mean, she could have been anybody, and he decided to bring in the fact
gender.
That she was a woman.
Like, and then he had the nerve to be like, ask Rihanna if she mad. And then
who tweeted at Rihanna?
I don't want to plug her Twitter because she's not, like, that funny, but, like, this... I think she's like, a model and, like, trying to also do comedy. It's, like, at Melissa Stetton. She has, like, a bunch of followers because she did that. She is Twitter famous in her own right because she's the... Did you hear about this story? She was hit on by a married actor on a plane, and she tweeted about it, and, like...
I heard about this. What actor?
Some, like, he's not even famous. His name is, like,
oh,
Brian
I remember
Presley.
This. And he, like,
he
was, like,
hit
oh,
on
I'm
her
an
on
actor.
The plane, like...
And then like, Googled his name and figured out who he was.
Well, she was tweeting stuff that he was saying, like, guy next to me on plane is wearing a wedding ring, but also, like, flirting with me and talking to me about how his role with Kurt Russell really changed his spiritual life, or something like that.
And
people
like,
figured
IMDb'd
out who it
him
was.
And send it, yeah.
And he was married with children. It, like, ruined his life. But so that... Melissa Stetton tweeted at, like, Chris Brown and was like, hey, or tweeted at Rihanna and was like, hey, Chris Brown wants to know if you're still mad at him for beating the living ish out
of you.
But yeah, so I guess the point of us talking about this on the show is, should, I mean, obviously the answer is yes, but, like, should comedians be able to, like, push the line and, like, you know, say things to famous people without... You know, and then be shocked when they reply. I don't think she was shocked.
I don't
think
she was shocked.
She handled
I think she
it. That's
hoped
like
that he replies.
What the media would say in that situation. But I think she handled it.
I think
fine.
When comedians do that, they want you to reply. Like,
they
want
you
these,
to.
Like,
yeah.
These jerks to reply.
I agree.
Like, when Joe Mandy retweets or tweets
Does
at
anyone respond to him?
Politician?
Though?
No, of course not, because it's just like.
Politicians
wrong
are
link.
Smarter than Chris Brown.
But I heard in Joe Mandy's episode of You Made It Weird, he said, he said that he's hoping that some
will...
a politician will look at his retweets. no, they'll look at his retweets that say like wrong link where he says wrong link
that.
And then puts like a random link there instead of what the comedian posted. I mean, what the politician posted. he's hoping that they'll look at it and say, oh my god,
did I
really
I
post
that?
And then like change the link or whatever.
Yeah. That's funny.
So when comedians do that, they want. The people to see it. They're not just doing it.
She was disturbed by what he was saying.
She was
just,
well, so were we all. Because like, I don't think she expected
was.
It to be that
and like strangely
sociopathic.
Specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly sociopathic. And he's just I'm glad he deleted his Twitter.
He's
he
an
should,
insane
he
person.
Should delete himself from existence.
From the earth. He's just an insane person.
I think it's really bizarre too how you know people like him can even still have a.
Career.
Yeah. I don't understand.
It's a mystery to me.
I don't understand how people can, like, it's not even like, because I don't even blame dumb, like, young girls that listen to him that are like, I love Chris Brown. I blame, like, the fact that, like, the AMAs lets him perform.
Yeah.
Or, like, the VMAs lets him perform.
I mean,
like,
that's
why
insane
is there not,
to me.
Why is there not some sort of unity? Because there's high up women working there. Why aren't they, like, why aren't
why
they, like,
they,
oh,
like,
let's blacklist
not.
Him?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they should do. But
it's a mystery.
Jenny Johnson got a substantial amount of Twitter followers from that. If you want to check out the exchange, she retweeted a lot of what he said, even though he deleted his Twitter, so it's still available for you to see. At Jenny Johnson, spelled how you think it would be spelled, HI5. Brandon goes, don't you listen to Odd Future? Yes, I listen to Odd Future. And it's good for working out because it's angry.
Why is he asking that? Because it's misogynistic. Because
Odd Future's so misogynistic.
I mean,
but also,
so
Tyler the Creator never literally beat a woman.
Yeah.
So.
There's a huge difference. We could have a huge discussion about this. There's a huge difference between misogyny in rap music
or
and
comedy.
And
you could argue comedy too.
Yeah,
that's like,
well,
why don't I hate? You know, you could argue
anyone.
That Louis C.K. does misogynistic bits, too.
Anthony Jeselnik says misogynistic things.
Yeah, but they're kidding. And then you could argue Tyler, the Creator, is a character, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But, I mean...
As long as no one's physically beating someone, it's not right, ever.
Of course not. Of course it's not right, but...
But neither are Jew jokes or, black people jokes. Like,
exactly.
It's all the same.
But there's a huge... I mean, in rap music, I mean, of course it's, like, bringing women back and, like, not... And it's not okay and not fair... But it's also
to be overly PC is to let it continue under more secrecy.
I think of course rappers should be like checked for it, like, and they should be like made to.
You mean like have it brought to their attention?
Yeah, exactly. That
like be more aware of what they're saying.
But also like if you've ever heard Tupac has a song where he says something like. If we love women so much, why do we beat them? And why do we say these misogynistic things?
Yeah, but then, like, it's a great song. All of his other songs
That's true.
But
you really have to have to think about the difference between literally punching a woman in the face and making
and not feeling bad about it at all.
Real death threats about her on Twitter
and not feeling bad about it.
Yeah, and not feeling bad about it and rapping about like chiches and hoes that you. I might not be able to say that on the air.
garden hose
that you are like effing in your room.
Think it's like I'm really shocked that his PR manager hasn't had it drilled into his head that you can never say anything less than praise for a woman ever again. He went very quickly. There wasn't even a moment of like.
Should I do this?
Not only was there not even a moment of should I do this, there wasn't a moment of insult that didn't pertain to the fact that she was a woman, sexualizing her, dehumanizing her because he said he was going to defecate on her. There wasn't just a normal exchange of insults. It was strangely anti-woman, and it just shows that he hasn't learned anything at all from the past 4 years of his life.
Exactly. And, like...
really bizarre.
I mean, what I think his PR manager probably has told him...
Or non-existent.
Don't ever do that again. Or his PR manager left...
he must not have one because that would never happen with
also,
proper
he's
management.
He's an insane person. He doesn't. Yeah. He follows no rules. He's like,
because
I'm just going to say whatever I want. Like, this is funny. My followers are going to like laugh at this. But he's a lunatic.
He's a lunatic, but also no one around him in his circle is saying,
this
like,
is wrong.
You're a bad person. Because or like, why? He's getting gigs. He's selling out shows. In his head, everything is zippity dandy. Like, he didn't do anything.
No, I mean,
wrong.
I think his record sales went down, but. And I think he must understand that he's doing something wrong because.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
People are tweeting at him, like, you're an insane person, but. I think that he just thinks, like, those are, like, the haters. Like, he just has the more haters, and now he can, like, rap about
it's
his haters.
Just, like, strange.
Rather than stop being a wife beater.
Was a real huge, like, apologist and was like, I have problems, like, my father beat my mother, which is what happened in his childhood. If he, like, came at it from that angle instead of this, like, unapologetic, like, I'ma do me, like, bullcrap, then maybe his... record sales and like comeback tours and stuff like that wouldn't seem so flippant and like I don't care about anything that I did and like
to I mean probably God. Like to his friends he's like well my father be my mother whatever that's how I'm gonna do it like that's how I was taught whatever but he should be like that's clearly something that affected my psychology
if he had any sort of like contemplativeness and like his
I mean he's also an idiot
he's so
like clearly
awful.
He's just a dumb person I never liked his music anyway
ugh.
Should we read a couple tweets?
Yeah, we should. But Twitter is a strange place.
It is.
Know,
it's another planet.
None of that would have happened without Twitter and without the... I think comedy writers feel comfortable tweeting digs at people because it's, you know, obviously
I'm 150 characters away from... what feels like talking to Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Or, like, someone...
Or sending him a private email.
Barack
because you
Obama.
Know he's going to see it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like,
exactly.
his professional email. Like, maybe his publicist checks it or something like that.
Ricky tweets... Like, Ricky is tweeting. It's not someone tweeting for other people. Like, Tom Cruise's Twitter is not him. But, like...
Or Britney Spears.
Yeah, exactly. But I unfollowed Britney Spears because I thought it was boring.
yeah, me too.
Anyway, so let's read a couple
tweets.
Let's
run through a bunch, and then we might have to... Yeah, we will run a little long to talk about Vin Diesel Sunday, because that's important.
We don't have to play every single
one. Read some tweets.
I don't know who this is, but Mary Charlene at IMENID Coleslaw tweeted, I am the Imelda Marcos of half-used chapsticks.
Who's Imelda Marcos?
She's a famous queen... who was famous for having, like, millions of pairs of shoes.
Oh!
She was, like, obsessed with shoes.
A Chase Mitchell at, or no, it's Chase Mitchell at Chase Mitt. Hey, we're all adults here. Disappointed pedophile. He is the king of really funny quote dash
I love those.
Explanation things. Those are my favorite things to tweet and to read.
Patton Oswalt's brother, Matt Oswalt at Puddin Strip, a PUDDINSCRIP, tweeted, could have sworn I just saw Gary Busey in a Santa suit collecting shopping carts, but then I realized it's not July 4th. Oh, did you hear the thing about Angus T. Jones?
What?
Okay, so there
kid is
crazy. For our listeners, the kid, the half man from Two and a Half Men.
What if that was like what the headlines were? Half man proclaims Jesus like as savior.
He like came out of the religious closet and told everyone that he's like a super like religious zealot.
But so, like also said the show was crappy, and I was like, yeah, I agree. Not that crazy.
Fair enough.
Not that crazy of a proclamation.
So Joe Manny tweeted, what if Angus T. Jones is Satan? And then David Lindelof tweeted, spin-off title idea, Two and a Half Men and also Satan.
I would watch that. More entertaining.
Yeah, word. Do you have any more?
Yeah. Jocelyn Plums at Filthy Richmond tweeted, Christianity's fine if your goal in life is to die. I was like, preach, sister. Another good Chase Mitchell one. Congratulations on being a cop now, most racist guy I went to high school with. I retweeted that because that is the truest ish on the planet.
There was
Earth.
Another one that sounded like that that I thought I favorited, but I can't find it. It was like, nice Gandhi quote, girl who used the N-word in high school.
Who said that?
I don't remember who it was, but it was, really I think it was funny. Jesse Klein, actually.
That's so funny.
At Drew Toothpaste, so I don't know who this is, but this was funny. And then he breathed life into his creation and said, every night you will lay for 8 hours and hallucinate about being back in high school.
There's a couple good Thanksgiving ones. John Francis Daly, who actually is a really funny Twitter, if you don't follow him.
I don't.
Really.
I follow John
he is
Daly.
Like good jokes. John Francis Daly from, you know, the little kid from Freaks and Geeks and Arizona Bones. He tweeted, my uncle loses 30 pounds and then gains it back all, and then gains it all back every year. If you did a time lapse on his body, it would look like he was breathing heavily.
At Perlapel, but it's Polapel, tweeted, when I walk through the workout wear section of the store, I usually call for my imaginary daughter, Kylie, because it is not of my world.
Trevor Moore did a good one. I just love these things, because, like, this one reminds me of his, you know the sketch, the Whitest Kid sketch was, like, one of the first ones where it was, like, they're like, hey, kid, you can't do that. And he goes, yaha, my parents are dead. Like, and he's hitting a wall with his hammer.
Oh, my God, no, I have it.
But it's really funny. It's just, like, everything he does, he's like, I can do whatever I want. My parents are dead.
That's
and the people
amazing.
Are like, oh. But he tweeted, Thursday is the 13th annual. How many times can you flip Keith the bird when his back is turned contest? Hashtag not my real dad. Hashtag nice cell phone holster jerk.
I have one more and then we really have to get to the next track because we're running way over.
Oh, Jesus.
But,
guys, I love Twitter.
Pete Holmes, because you know when you, iTunes makes you buy album only?
Yeah.
Pete Holmes tweeted, they should just make the album only button on iTunes a link to a pirating website.
I saw that.
Okay, so we have to jump into our next track.
Do you want to say goodbye and then we'll play a 5 minute one? Do we have a 5 minute one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so guys,
I'll play 2 3-minute
lots
ones.
Of stuff about Twitter this week. If you don't have a Twitter, get one because you're missing out. But Dimitri Martin's album that we've been playing is
These Are Jokes from 2006. You can buy it on iTunes. And you can buy it,
probably
or you
on his
can
website.
Listen to it on Spotify, probably on his website. He has a website, DimitriMartin.com.
Yep.
Just Google his name. He's got
Twitter
at DimitriMartin.
Whosay account, just Dimitri Martin.
Book.
Really good pictures there and captions.
Yeah.
If you're into his imagery humor, it's really funny. And then, I guess check out his book. Tell us how it is, because I want to get it for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. That and should get his
book. Oh, wait, and I'd also like to throw out a quick plug for my friend and fellow Finley and Kron's sketch group member, Mark, I still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Vigeon?
I don't know. He has a show that I'm going to go see on December 8th at BU Central. Doors open at 8:30. It's free. So if you're in the Boston area, which I know most of you are listening, or actually probably not, but if you are in the Boston area, check it out. His sketch group, Kingmaker, is going to be there. They're really funny. And then So that should be good. I'm going to go with, I think, Ariel, because she's in that area.
Oh, cool.
So definitely recommend that. My Twitter is at Chloe Pacello.
I'm at Gmontoute, Gmontoute.
And we will see you guys next week.
So I'm just going to play one. It's One Story by Dimitri Merton. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Yep, night, guys.
Or next Wednesday, actually. Bye.
Sometimes people ask me, what do I do during the day? They say, you're a comedian. Like, what do you do? You know, so I thought I would just pick one day from my life in this past summer and just talk about it.